In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Lord, we gather today, and we ask you to silence our hearts that we may understand your purpose and your mission for us. Guide us and strengthen us and fill us, Lord, with a spirit of clarity to discern what you ask of us. Blessed Mother, be with us as we pray together. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary,
Mother of God, pray for us sinners,
now at the hour of
our death. Saint Joseph,
pray for us.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Well, good morning. So it's always sort of really hard to settle into a retreat, okay? Like, I like the weekend retreats. A good friend of mine, Father Swink's, given a retreat this weekend down at Loyola. And by, like, Friday night, everybody comes in all flustered, and Saturday, they're a little bit calmer. Usually about Saturday afternoon, people start to listen. So I know that I'm, like, swimming upstream with you, okay? But it's really sort of important, as best as you can, to sort of quiet your heart. I want to ask you to kind of surrender a lot of your preoccupations. What I found is sometimes when I go and give a day retreat, people hear incorrectly. It's because they're not like really, they haven't sort of turned everything over. You know, imagine like a busy atmosphere and I say something to you and it's totally off base, but you hear it negatively, all right? That can be pretty complicating. Now, God can bring something beautiful through it, so don't misunderstand it. But I also recognize that that can cause some reactions and internal combustion that can be lacking peace. So what I'd like you to do is just turn over some of the things in your heart right now, whatever that is there. Sylvia, just going to play quietly just a second, a minute or two. And I just want you to, like, whatever, like, I just want you to say, Lord, what is in my heart? Maybe it's something insignificant, like, oh, I wanted more coffee, or, like, or it's something more complicating, or, but I, boy, it's really hard for you to hear me if you don't surrender whatever is kind of pinging around in your head, okay? So we'll just take a couple minutes and we'll settle into that. So, Lord, we give you this, these preoccupations, and we ask you to fill that place in our heart that they occupied with your peace, with your joy, with a heart that is receptive, and calm our minds that we may hear more deeply what is in our hearts through Christ our Lord. Amen. So before I sort of dive into the talk, I want you, if you can, I want you to think about right now, what do you think is sort of the predominant emotion in your heart right now? Okay? For example, is it fear? Is it love? Is it worry? But I just want you to sort of take a moment. It's like, Lord, what, like, just say, Lord, what is in my heart right now? That predominant emotion. Okay, and you can label it as you like. Okay, so why do I want to start there? Well, it may be the predominant emotion right now. It may not be the predominant emotion or experience tomorrow. But I want you to examine that following Christ, which is sort of the theme. It's a little bit general, but I wanted you to like have a clarity that knowing that where you are right now is an important understanding in following the Lord. Many times I think people try to just sort of like run away from what is going on in their lives and run away from really what God may actually be wanting to talk to you about and kind of work through with you. All right? So the agitation that I see a number of people experiencing in their prayer life, now understand what I'm saying, in their prayer life, it's because they're actually not settling into the place that the Lord really wants to talk to them. So what's our reaction as Catholics? It's like, ooh, let me just grab my rosary. Oh, let me just, you know, do something in my prayer. So in order for you to really begin to follow the Lord, ladies, you have to be aware of what is there interiorly in the movement of your heart. That is actually the place where God is trying to talk to you. All right? So that emotion is not sort of a reaction to anything. I mean, it's a movement of God. And that might be a good thing. It might be a place where you feel exposed. It might be a place, a lot of places. But ultimately, what I can tell you is avoiding that place, that conversation that the Lord really wants to have, will make following him incredibly frustrating. Because he's going to keep bringing it back to your attention. Okay? So, I can't say much to that person because that person's in a void mode. That person's in, oh, just let me hear something pleasing to me, because right now, where God wants to take me may be the place I don't want to go. And thus, retreats will become frustrating because it'll really turn back on you. And that's not the purpose of the retreat. Yes, I want you to pray for the grace of self-knowledge. Self-knowledge is a grace that God gives to every one of us. Self-awareness. Like, the reason you are who you are is not blaming everybody around you. You have to have self-awareness, self-knowledge. Why do I do this? Why am I like this? I'm not asking for navel-gazing. Understand the difference. The emotion that God is putting in your heart is indicative of what he is trying to bring into your prayer. So if you're in a good place and you're joyful, then you sit in that place of joy with the Lord, and you should be there with him. I don't want you to like flip gears and be like, oh man, I can't be joyful, it's Lent. But that's what people do. They sort of put on the season. Like, well, let me just put on my, you know, my mourning season in prayer. Well, that may not be what God's asking of you. God may have plenty of mourners, right? The mourners are on this side, the joyful's on this side, right? And meanwhile, you're on the mourning side, you're like, but I want to be in the joyful side. But that may not be where God wants you. It's essential, ladies, that you understand the deeper movement of what God is saying to you. Otherwise, really candidly, you will be in that total avoid mode constantly. And prayer will not be a graced encounter. It will be just frustrating. It will be frustrating because you are going to say, I didn't get anything out of it. I didn't understand. And when you are aware of this, then you can get to the deeper struggle when people come to you and understand really what they're saying. Okay? You should be able to hear the deeper understanding of what's going on in their lives. But if you're not able to hear that within you, either you're going to come in and fix it, or you're going to go in and like join the blame game with them. Oh, yeah, it's his fault. It'll be a spiritual conversation in which you just tag team beating up somebody. When that person in front of you is actually speaking of what is in their heart, and you should be able to say, well, is it possible that that's what God is saying to you? Is it possible that what is there? The first point of the talk today is, where are you so that you are supposed to follow him? Maybe you are actually following him. Maybe you're going in the opposite direction. Maybe every time God says, hey, come on over, let's talk about this, and you want to run to that side, and he's like, okay, let's talk about it over here, and you keep going and you're avoiding. Believe me, ladies, the evil one knows what you avoid. Okay? And you can put on all kinds of lipstick and all kinds of makeup, but ultimately, it will reveal itself in a lie or deception. It will not be transparent. Following the Lord means following him in your own way, not like me, not like your sister, or not like mommy. You follow the Lord as he is speaking to you in this time in your life. Okay? So know where you are. Where are you? And then an awareness that God is with me in there. Okay? To follow him from there will be a great grace. Sometimes in spiritual direction, when folks are working through stuff, and you get like you go right to the core, and then they run away. Because they're in avoid mode. They're in the band-aid mode. And that means that they're living in the sin of denial. What you should be hearing should be clear within your heart. Like, Lord, this is it. I understand. I hear this. Yes. But if somebody is all foggy and denial, you could say it 1,000 times. You could write it. You can give them a tattoo with it. They're not going to get it because they don't want to look at it. And sometimes there can be a language barrier. Yeah, my Spanish is okay, but somebody's got a receptive heart and it's there that's like, yeah, Father, I understand. Entiendo, I got it. Why? Because they're in that place of awareness and openness to the movement of God. So you first have to go to a place, where am I, Lord? The second comment that I want you to just sit with, because I can, then I can teach you how to follow or encourage you, give you some tools, is secondly, do you know that God is in that place with you? He comes to that place because that is a place where he can do work. Work is the movement of God. What does work mean with God? Creation. God comes to create there. That which is barren, he comes to create. That which is broken, he comes to create through fixing, through healing, etc. So he goes to the place with you for a powerful purpose. Ultimately, what the Lord is seeking is being drawn to that which is broken, and that which is broken is where he pours his love. That which is struggling. I remember I was given a homily and I was talking about the effects of pornography and all of that effects on the marriage. A couple weeks later, I saw a few folks and they're like, oh yeah, I didn't go there. I just kind of didn't like your homily. I said, well, what did I say that you didn't like? Like, I just asked the topic. Let's talk about the topic that you didn't like. Was it about conversion? It's like, well, you know, you're talking about all that stuff and purity and all that stuff. It's like, well, what did I say that you felt was offensive? That you thought was off target. It was pretty comical. Like, these two guys, I know what they were doing. They didn't want to be called out on a sin, so their reaction was denial. And I said, well, do me a favor. Don't be a hypocrite to your kids and tell them not to do stuff and then you do it behind closed doors, because you just had a teaching that you're in denial of. The Lord calls us to ultimately work through the trials and struggles of our life. And the sooner that you are self-aware of these movements, the less that you'll be banging your head against the wall, realizing that God is in that place. God is in the place to bring his grace, and from that grace, then you can follow. Look, if you're in the starter's block and you're facing the wrong way and the guy goes, pew, and everybody's going that way and you're going this way, I don't care how fast you are. This is what's happening in our culture and with people. They have their matching Bible and their matching purse to match their pen. And they're like, I'm ready. And it's like, pew, and all of a sudden they're like, avoid, 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 avoid. And you know what they end up doing? They sometimes they bring people with them. And then that becomes worse. Everything that God wants you to deal with, most of you already know what they are. Now, don't avoid it. Because avoiding it will only produce frustration, and that frustration will lead you also ultimately to despair. You know what you got to work on. Unless, like, this is your first retreat and you just became a Catholic yesterday. And the reason why the Lord may ask you to just kind of work through this is because that's where the grace will be demonstrated the most. Look, it's sort of a paradox, but the place that you're avoiding is the place where he will build his kingdom within you. And it will ultimately be the place that lasts the longest, because it will be the work of God. Yes, you will have responded to it, but it ultimately will be the work of God. And that will be the place that people will be most attracted to in you. So the angry person that with God's grace and God slowly builds his kingdom of peace and joy, you know what? That's actually going to be the place where, like, man, that's really attractive in you. But sometimes we just like, well, I just, you know, I have anger issues, but I just want to pray about purity. And purity may not even be an issue for you. But you just want to talk about purity and talk about it. But that's going to be about you talking about you. When God is really saying, well, let's really talk about the deeper struggle, which is that anger or that pain. That is where God can really do the powerful work of grace. And that is the place, ladies, that lasts. That's the place that God builds his kingdom. So I want you to recognize therein lies the place that you are sort of called to go from, and then why you're following him. You are following him so that he can build his kingdom in that place of your struggle. And then that puts purpose to the times when you are frustrated and the times you are discouraged. Then you understand, Lord, I know you're doing something great. Look, here's when folks wave the white flag. They don't know why they're going through tough times. But if I'm the angry man and I'm going through some tough times and I strike out or I have some blow up and I'm like, well, Lord, man, I know you're in this. It isn't, that's the old, people come back like, I took 2 steps forward and 12 back. I was like, no, you didn't take 12 back. That might have been a beautiful gift that God gave to you because you thought you were doing the kingdom work on your own and you weren't. So knock it off and let God do the work. But what's the first response? 2 steps forward, 3 steps back. I'm like, oh man, you're dealing with like a victim. There's nothing worse than that. Mr. Perfect who never got a C. And maybe God's like, well, there you go, Mr. Perfect. You just wiped out. I want you to go deeper in what is taking place in your life. So I don't care if you wipe out. God doesn't care if you wipe out. I mean, he wants you to respond to the wipeout by getting up. But then it's going to continue. This is the work of God in me. This is where people are not making the connection. And sometimes our Protestant brothers and sisters are giving God the glory. They're like, yeah, the work of God within me. Look, you're not doing it. It's not like 100 rosaries are going to get you this grace of no more anger. Yeah, I mean, Our Lady's going to help you. But it's not like, oh, I didn't say the rosary perfect at number 99. I got to start all over, right? It's like it's some superstition. Don't do that. What I'm trying to drive home with you is in there will be then the purpose of why you're following him. Why are you following this man, this Savior? What end? So that what? He can build his kingdom within you. So that he can put his grace within you. Not that you're perfect. Not that you're without your struggle. Because then that's really unbearable. What it is then you can say, okay, I just had a blow up. I'm working on this. Now I know why I have to continue. I know why I have to continue. Okay? Sometimes folks, like, they get to this place and then they don't know what to do in their spiritual life. Like, if you don't know what to do in your spiritual life, like, you're like, well, I got everything pretty well organized, you know? I don't have any of these major struggles. Okay, well, come and see me. We'll figure out some issues, I promise you. Because that is impeding, and you may be in that place of just, I just don't want to deal with it. I don't want to face it. And ultimately, then, we can get discouraged in following. So, I know where I am, and I know that God is in this place. And I know that he is revealing something that he wants me to work on. Following the Lord is working on that thing. What is that thing in your life? And examining your heart, are you really working on it? If you're the critical one or the gossipy one, go ahead, say 1,000 rosaries. Work on overcoming that. Because that's the block that keeps you from really following. Every single person in this room, in this chapel, church should know, I know this is what I got to work on. And examine, are you working on it? The way that you can tell that God is with you is that God has made everything good. God so loved the world. So even the dust from which we came, God did love. And he loved us infinitely. And so therein lies, okay, so God's purpose, God's kingdom is ultimately this act of love. He loves the lost sheep in every one of us. And that's how God demonstrates his love. He doesn't love the 99 in you. He loves the really busted up sin and struggle in your life. That's how I keep going. Because if you don't have that lost sheep, some of you are going to say, well, I got most of this done, Lord, I'm good. Really, like, think about it. What do we call Christ? A divine physician. And sometimes when we are struggling and having those trials in our life, that's God's way of saying, okay, come back to the good shepherd. And there is the Lord's grace. If you were to approach going to Holy Communion all the time with what you felt is the predominant thing experienced in your heart at that moment, it would change the encounter. Like coming into Mass with an awareness. Like, Lord, what is the thing in my heart right now? Folks come in with this predominant emotion. Sometimes it's pain. Sometimes it's struggle. And you know what they do? They walk out of church with it. They don't do anything with it. They don't put it in the offertory. They don't put it at the foot of the cross. They don't put it in the chalice. They don't do nothing. And so they just keep dragging it around. And I think that there has to be a greater awareness on the part of so many people to put at the foot of the cross or in the chalice whatever the experience is in their heart. God desires to be in communion with that experience in your life. He desires that. That's his goal. That's why he came to redeem it. And I think that so many folks don't want to address it. And so when their loved ones are going through tough times, they don't have the spiritual courage or strength to sit down and be like, hey, what's going on? What are you doing? God loves the world, and what he wants to do is love the world through everybody in the church. He wants to love the world through us. Following the Lord means knowing where I am, knowing where I'm going, which is following the Lord, and aware of the things that are going on in my life, because that self-awareness is revelatory. The self-awareness in every single person will reveal what God is doing in your life. Don't avoid those things. Okay, Lord, I hear you. The Catechism makes it clear that God did not abandon us after the fall. But on the contrary, he calls us into this victory, and the Catechism calls it restoration from the fall. to be restored. That gives total freedom to the very things that people hide from with the Lord. The freedom. So let me say this. You're aware of something that the Lord is bringing up, and you bring it to the Lord, and the evil one can no longer accuse you of that because you've brought it to the Lord. So you've brought it to the Lord, and you're bringing it to the Lord, and you're in communion with the Lord, and you're talking about it with the Lord, and you know what? The evil one's going to say, darn it, I can't accuse her anymore of that because you brought it to the Lord. He's going to try. He's going to get in there. He's going to say, you're never going to overcome this. You're not good enough. Like, he's going to come at you with these ad hominem comments, right? You're not good enough. Everybody's going to laugh at you. Everybody knows all those things. Guess what? That's where people stop following. I'm not going to go to church. I'm not going to pray. Believe me, the way the evil one gets in to mock so many people is that he knows what is a wound. He knows what you're hiding. He knows. So let me be really clear. He knows what you're embarrassed of. He knows your past. The evil one knows everything you've done in your past. And what his goal is, he's going to say, stop talking about that with the Lord. Stop being in communion with him. Stop praying about it and lifting it up to him. And the moment that you begin to sort of say, psh, man, I'm working on that anger, man. Mommy's just angry. Or dad, you know, I'm working on this. Believe me, it converts it. And then following becomes so much easier. Examine the window where the evil one goes. Where does he attack you? Where does he speak to you? And when you know, look, he may come in through the basement window, but he may end up in the laundry room. But it's the same wound. And you can be Mrs. Church Lady. I don't care. Ultimately, there isn't that freedom of your heart. You want to examine why. What blocks me from that? The work of God is that he comes to restore that place in me which has been overrun by sin or pain or abuse or trauma. That's where God comes to restore. He comes to get that lost sheep. That is the lost sheep. He says, hey, great. Your 99 acts of this and that, that's all fine, great. But what I'm really attracted to is the brokenness. And I want you to know I want the lost sheep. This is why folks that have like these hidden sins over and over, look, folks, they're going to get choked. The evil one will choke them. Because they have chosen not to bring that out, not to be in communion. I don't care if it's a sliver. What I'm driving at is that sliver will become more and more and more. I see it all the time. First it starts out great, but the next thing you know, they become weak-kneed and they bail. So I really need you to understand that you have within you the grace to be an authentic follower. And the moments when the evil one kind of attacks you or accuses you, the response is, Lord, I'm glad to know what is this in my life. I had a beautiful conversation with this boy. He has cancer, but he is it's like 15 or 16. It was brain cancer or something. So he had chemo. And we had a beautiful conversation. He was a prayerful young man. I don't know, we were on the topic of something. And he brought up just such a really beautiful point. He said, you know, Father, he said, one of the things that's the most difficult is that when I lost my hair, adults would look at me, and then when I looked at them looking at me, they looked away. He said, but children, they just kept staring at me. And I said, why do you think that is? He said, well, at first I became very self-conscious about it. And he said, but then I realized maybe it really wasn't about me. Maybe they just didn't want to deal with the fact that somebody like a young person could be this sick. So I said, look, I think you're on to something really beautiful. You have a very beautiful insight. I think this is the struggle with humanity. Like, we kind of want to look at, like, the busted up stuff. But when the busted up stuff is looking back at me saying, this could be you, I don't want to look. I look away. I don't want to deal with it. I mean, examine. It's like the most ridiculous thing. Go down the highway, everybody's looking at this terrible accident, and as soon as they get up, they're like, oh gosh, well, why'd you look? I mean, I just want you to look at, like, if you don't want to see blood and gut, like, don't look. It's like, I'm curious. The sin of curiosity, like, draws me there. But then you don't have an answer to it. You just go there and you're like, oh, yuck. There's no response of love. There's no courage. When you know what God is doing in your life, then no matter what folks are going through in your life, you can go there to them with a place of grace and courage. When you are following the Lord, then you know how to go into those places because you know how God came into your life, into that struggle. That's the beauty. Ladies, I want to teach you, you have to learn how to listen. You have to learn how to hear deeply. If you're in denial of your wounds, ready? You are not a good listener. Ready? I don't care how many souffles you make. I don't care how many little groups you're in your church, you are not hearing the Lord. I'm tired of folks saying, I've discerned this, I've discerned that. When they're all over the place, so broken up, I was like, you're hearing the wrong thing, man. The way the Lord works, he works within you, and he speaks to you. That's where God is going to work. And then once you're there in that place and you're silent, then you can hear it. But there are times when I'm sitting with people and I'm talking to them and I feel like I'm speaking in Chinese. They don't hear anything. Because they can't. Because they're so spiritually agitated. How are they going to follow the Lord when what the Lord is saying to them is, let's work on this brokenness? And then when they have not dealt with that, then when somebody pokes at that brokenness, some friend or whatever, and they poke, they all spin out of control. God, when we are following him, he is speaking to our hearts. The reason we follow is because he's speaking the truth to us. And the truth is what attracts us. But if I'm broken or hiding, it's going to cause me to fall away. I don't like the truth, but the truth sets you free. Please examine this in your heart. Then you will follow. Yeah, you'll come in like gangbusters, but you're going to bail after a while. Believe me. Because the sprint is what the person does who lives in sinfulness. They can sprint because you know what it is? Look at me. It's all about them. It's all about them. The long-distance runner is focused on following. And it's because they have the capacity to follow. It's a beautiful challenge, but ultimately, what God reveals is so that you and I can be really, really free. Following the Lord is not slavery, it's freedom. It's sort of this like paradox where it's like, why do I have to follow? But following is actually very liberating. But the act of following must be a free-willed choice in love. And that in love part means I take off my brokenness and I surrender. And let's just ask the Lord to bless us. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Our Lady of Guadalupe. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.